It's Martin Turner, it's 68. Your weekend companion keeps you up to date with new issues and music and comedy on NBC.
And this is Monitor 68, first of the season, so make a wish. I've made mine. It's that you'll join me, Ted Steele, every Saturday evening at this time. We promise you'll meet the most interesting people. For instance, 3 minutes from now, our guest will be the highly successful young songwriter, Leslie Bricus. He's British, you know, and so is this singer, Petula Clark.
Searching in our dreams to find that little parcel in the air. When worry starts to cloud the mind, it's hard to leave it all behind and just pretend you haven't got a care. Someone else is your imagination. Wish that you were standing in their shoes. You change your life without much hesitation. Would you, if you really had to choose?
You're our next guest, Leslie Bricus, whose grass and money is very green these days. He's written many hit songs, some alone, some with Anthony Newley. You know, What Kind of Fool Am I? The song, that is, and the theme music from the film Goldfinger, to mention just two of his successes. Monitor reporter Candy Jones interviewed Leslie Bricus.
I caught up with this young, talented whirlwind while he was in New York City with his stunning brunette actress wife, where Leslie Bricus's new film achievement has just opened. It's called Dr. Dolittle. And Leslie has written the screenplay and both the lyrics and music for the film's 16 songs. A lot of people may feel it's very easy to write a song. You just whistle out a tune and you take those old cliche words, June, noon, spoon, and then you have it. How is it really done?
Well, the way I work, obviously show writers and film writers work under rather different conditions than people who just write individual songs. All the songs I write obviously have to come in a given context in the story of the show or film. I usually start with the words the beginning of the words until I find a musical phrase to go with that title. Then I write the melody, and then, like a crossword puzzle, I fill the rest of the lyric into the tune afterward.
Do you require any special conditions, such as the time of day or the place where you might be when you're composing, creating?
No, I'm very adaptable in that way. Evie and I, ever since we've been married, we've always travelled a great deal. And I've written songs in some pretty extraordinary places, but where I am and when I'm working has never fazed me at all. So.
What would you classify an extraordinary place?
Well,
the family
Who Can I Turn To was in fact written in a bathroom in London when Tony Newley and his wife had rented a house in Hampstead for the summer. They'd just come into England, and Tony's wife, Joan Collins, was unpacking her 4,000 suitcases, and literally the only place that was safe from her particular whirlwind was the bathroom, and there we were, and that's where we wrote the song.
How long does it take, generally, to write a song? Let's take the song A Wonderful Day Like Today.
That particular one came very quickly. Both Tony and I, working together and apart, generally speaking, can write most of our songs quite quickly. The entire score of Stop the World, because we were under pressure, the entire score was written in 8 days, which is unusually fast.
In working with Rex Harrison and Dr. Dolittle, did you have any particular problems at all in turning out these 16 songs and adjusting the songs to the singing talent of Rex Harrison?
It was very difficult working with him in the early stages until I won his confidence. And the real problem one faces in writing for a performer like Rex is that you're not really writing for a singer. Rex, despite his marvelous style in musical numbers, does not regard himself in any way as a musical performer. He says, I don't understand musicals, I'm an actor. And therefore his songs have to work as scenes. You are writing a scene for him. And in Dr. Dolittle, what I've attempted to do is to literally run into his songs from the dialogue imperceptibly so that you don't realize until he's several bars into the song that he's singing at all, as indeed, because he always talks his way into the lyric, you know.
What is your next film job?
Dr. Dolittle, for the writer, a film project is always in the past much more than it is for the public in the present.
Yes.
I've written two more films since Dr. Dolittle.
What are they?
I've finished a musical version about Noah's Ark, a musical version of a French play called Noah.
You're surrounded by animals.
Animals and boats seem to be my two things.
Yes.
And I've also finished a musical version of the Sherlock Holmes stories, which is going to be filmed next year. And I'm about
have
to...
Have they cast for that as yet?
No, that's what I've got to go to Los Angeles for this week. We're having meetings on casting. And I'm about to do my favorite project of all, which is a musical version of Cyrano de Bergerac, which is something I've been wanting to do for years, and I've finally got the rights, and I'm about to begin.
Wonderful. Have you thoughts about casting for that? Who will be Cyrano, and who will be Roxanne?
I would like Cyrano... This is my personal wish.
Yes.
I would like Cyrano to be Christopher Plummer, who I think is the best Cyrano that has ever walked the boards, and for Roxanne, my choice would be Diane Carroll. I think they together would be magnificent, and that's who I hope it will be.
Beautiful casting. Thank you, Leslie Brickus, screenplay writer, composer, and lyricist, for inviting Monitor and me to visit with you today, and best wishes for your continued brilliance.
Thank you very much, Candy.
This is Candy Jones on location for Monitor, and now back to Radio Central.
And here's one of the songs Leslie Brickus wrote for Dr. Dolittle, Talk to the Animals. Bobby Darin sings it.
I could talk to the animals. Just imagine if chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be. If we could talk to the animals, learn all their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python, and I would curse him who is kangaroo. If people ask me, can you speak rhinoceros? I'd say, of course, can you? If I conferred with our furry friends and the animals, think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and talk with the animals, and they could talk to me. If I consulted with Father Pesh, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea. Or maybe run some two or three lines, walruses and sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be if I spoke slang to orangutan. The advantage is why any fool planner only see. It's the eastern arts and dramas with intellectual llamas. That's a big step forward, you'll agree. I'd learn to speak in antelope and turtles, and my Pekingese would be extremely good. If I were asked to sing in hippopotamus, I'd say why not of us, and I would. If I could parley with pachyderms, it's a fairy tale worthy of Hans Andersen and Grimm. A man who walks with the animals, talks with the animals, grunts and squeaks, with the animals, and they could talk to him. Let me hear them all. I'd study every creature's language so I could speak to all of them on sight. If Ben said, can he talk in crab or maybe pelican? You'd say like hell he can, and you'd be right. And if you just stop and think a bit, ain't no doubt of it, I'm gonna win a place in history. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt, squeak, squawk with the animals, and they could squeak and squawk and speak and talk.
At 20 minutes past the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, I'm Elena Pinella of the Letter from Lee Show. Like everything else that's worth anything, the Army's Officer Candidate School program is a definite challenge. It's not easy, but if you get through it, you really accomplish something. You will open the door to a career with a future and gain priceless experience that will put you way ahead of other men your age. As a college graduate, you can enlist for the Officer Candidate School of your choice. For further details about this opportunity program, visit the Army Recruiter in your community.
The Brad Crandall Show is a fact. The Brad Crandall Show is, I think, an interesting fact. The Brad Crandall Show some nights is just one interesting fact right after another. And, of course, the best-known interesting fact on the WNBC Brad Crandall Show, they keep telling me. They is my mother, my father, you know. But that's personal opinion. If you're interested in facts, well-known, little-known, obscure, or manifest, and opinions, lots of those, you call me at Plaza 78866 weeknights following the 9 o'clock news, and we'll have a factual discussion.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Sunday morning on Monitor, Saturday evening style. Spanky and our gang sing it.
Sunday morning.
Sun
shining from your eyes. Keep me smiling in smile.
Sunday morning.
Lots of time with nothing to do. Lots of time to spend with you.
Sunday morning.
Come and hold me in your arms, silent.
Sunday morning.
Cap will give you his answers to some burning questions 3 minutes from now. And if I know Al, his answers will be pretty hot, too. First, Lulu tells us about the best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds, that's what he wants.
Monitor's talking cartoonist calls himself an expert on nothing with opinions on everything. For a sample of those opinions, here's Al.
After my lecture at a Southwestern university last week, a student asked me from the floor, "Mr. Cap, what do you think of micro miniskirts?" And I said, "I think of them a lot." Another student asked me what I thought of the hippie movement. I said, I hadn't noticed any movement whatever among hippies, but if they did start moving, I hope they'd move out of my neighborhood. A faculty member asked me what I thought of the recent activities of Dr. Spock, And I said I admired him more when he was raising babies instead of raising bail. A boy with a beard asked me if I thought jail sentences would stop draft card burners. I said no, but possibly burning their allowance checks might. A girl with bangs down to her nostrils and a necklace with a huge pendant reading love asked me why our government officials were so apathetic to the needs of young people. I said I assumed that she meant such young people as Harvard Student for a Democratic Society, who clearly needed to beat up Secretary McNamara when he expressed opinions there that they disliked, and his apathetic insistence that the police merely protect him instead of bashing in the skulls of his attackers. She said no, that wasn't the sort of apathy she meant at all by the question she asked me. I said that I was sorry, but that's what I meant by my answer. A music lover in the crowd asked me, why did Billy Joe McAllister jump? And I said I figured it must have been because he couldn't stand hearing that girl singing that darn song again. And this is Al Capp reporting from the colleges on NBC's Monitor.
Okay, Al, all right. Monitor's talking cartoonist, an expert on nothing with opinions on everything. How true, too, huh? The answer to the question, where can you hear Al Capp? On Monitor, every weekend. In Bozeman, Montana, you're listening to us on station KBMN. A word from all the stations here, and then I'll be back with more of Monitor. Lots of good music, interesting features. I'm your host, Ted Steele.
Hi, this is Chris Economaki, reporting the sport of speed, every weekend on Monitor, on NBC Radio.
Go north or south, go east or west, just get in your car and you'll head for the best.
Like mountain music, my friend, good old mountain music played by a real hillbilly band. Stick around. We'll be hearing the Ozark Opry in Missouri just 2 minutes from now. I'm your monitor host, Ted Steele, and I'll let Perry Como get the first song in here. It's You Made It That Way.
You made it that way.
Watermelon summer, a hummingbird hummer, every day was a slumber in the shade. It was a tale-telling whopper, banana split topper, a tall, cool glass of lemonade. You made it that way. Sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way.
It was a lot of water splashing, a fall down kind of laughing, good old times rehashing afternoon. It was a backyard barbecue, a hammock swinging room, meet the summer's watermelon. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah.
It was a game of hide and seek, we kicked the can. It was our way out and free, every time for you and me. This hiding was the best part of the game. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way. Yeah, you made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, it's hoedown time on Modern Neighbors. All you toe-tappers, get ready.
Howdy, all you friends and neighbors. Join me on the hillbilly show. Do not the fostering banjo. Take down the fiddle and the bow.
In Ozark Country, that's the introduction to the spirited, fast-moving Ozark Opry, featuring self-taught musicians from these hills. The man in charge, the producer, MC, bass fiddler, and as he proudly describes himself, a real Missouri hillbilly, Lee Mink. Lee, this is quite a group you have.
Well, thank you, Dale. We're real proud of them. There's 11 of us. We got fiddles, banjos, guitar pickers, singers, and we have a lot of fun.
When did you hold your first Ozark Opry, Lee?
15 years ago, Dale. We started our little show. It's kind of for fun, but now it's grown into our livelihood. This is the way we make our living anymore. We do it all the time.
You, of course, are in a tourist area. Do you play to quite a few city folks?
An awful lot of city folks from all over the country, from every walk of life, and they always seem to enjoy it. We have lots of fun with them.
Give us an idea. How popular is this Ozark music here? In other words, what kind of crowds do you play to?
Oh, we seat 1,100 people here, and we run double shows most every night. We play to 10,000-12,000 people a week, all during the tourist season. And during the year, we play to 500,000 people in Missouri and around at personal appearances all over the country here.
Now, do you sometimes sell a ticket to a city slicker, let's say, and find that he's hard to convince that Ozark music is worth listening to?
Actually, we have a lot of folks that come to see our show who are skeptical. They probably come to see why all the other people come or come out of curiosity. But normally, they're the ones that we really like to entertain because they don't know what to expect, and we slip up behind them, kind of, so to speak.
Lee, is there such a thing as real Ozark mountain music?
I would say there really is. Our Ozark Mountain music, you wouldn't read it out of a trade magazine what it is. It's kind of a mixture of everything. It's whatever our people happen to like played on our kind of instruments. And Dale, one of our kind of instruments happens to be a good old fiddle. And here's a pretty good example right here, an old tune called Waldo. Paul Edner fiddle there. Paul, that's a teenage fiddle player, and she's been playing ever since she was 9 years old. Her daddy taught her to play the fiddle. You know, in almost any Ozark home you'd walk in, it's not uncommon to find a guitar and a fiddle hanging on the wall.
Lee, I know these musicians are self-taught. Do they read music?
Well, not enough to hurt their picking any, Dale. No, they all play by ear. We all play by ear.
Humor is an important part of the Ozark Opry, I know, Lee.
Well, we try to make people laugh and have a good time. Old Goofer handles most of our funny work for us. He's kind of been up against it, though, Dale. He had a sore throat, and he had to go to the doctor the other day. Son, you had a little trouble with the doctor, didn't you?
Yeah, I had an awful sore throat and couldn't talk above a whisper, you know. And so I went up to the doctor's house, and I knocked on the door, and the doctor's wife came to the door, and I said, "Is the doctor in?" She said, "No, come on in."
Oh. Well, it's old, but folks still laugh anyway.
Well, Lee, we've heard a joke. We've heard some good old mountain music. We heard that snappy introduction. How do you close the show?
Well, usually by this time, we're in a pretty good mood, Dale, and we go out like this.
Well, I could sing, sing, sing. I can sing all night. I could sing, sing.
And that's just a sample of Ozark Mountain music as it's played on Lee Mace's Ozark Opry every night here at Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks. This is Del Donahue for Monitor.
Well, yippee, and I love that good old sound. With Lee Hazelwood, sing Some Velvet Morning.
Some velvet morning when I
At 14 minutes before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon. Sings on monitor his latest hit, Who Will Answer?
From the canyons of the mind, we wander on and stumble blindly through the often tangled maze of starless nights and sunless days, while asking for some kind of clue or road to lead us to the truth, but who will answer? Side by side, two people stand together, bound hand in hand, that love's embedded in their hearts, but soon an empty feeling starts to overwhelm their hollow lives, and when they seek the hows and whys, who will answer? On a strange and distant hill, a young man lying very still, his arms will never hold his child, because a bullet running wild has struck him down. And now we cry, dear God, oh why, but who will answer? High upon a lonely ledge, a figure titters near the edge, and cheering crowds collect below to egg him on with go, man, go. But who will ask what led him to his private day of doom, and who will answer? If the soul is dark, if the mind is baffled, when the rules don't fit the game, who will answer? Who will answer? Who will answer? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
When the
report on amateur hockey in the United States. Monitor Sports is brought to you by your Lincoln Mercury dealer, the home of better idea cars from the makers of Lincoln Continental.
Mercury's got a hot new car.
Go, go, Monte, go.
Monte, go is spectacular.
Go, go, Monte, go.
Only the Lincoln Continental people would know how to make the Mercury Monte, go. Mercury's newest and lowest priced luxury car. Montego is Mercury's bright new star. Montego's got sedans and hardtops, convertibles, station wagons too. The hot new Mercury since Cougar, inside and out, it's completely new.
Go, go, Montego!
Man, you ought to see Montego go.
Mercury Montego combines Cougar excitement with full six-passenger comfort at your Mercury dealers. Although 10 of the 12 teams in the National Hockey League are located in the United States, all but a handful of the players are Canadians. It's a situation that also can be found in amateur hockey. A report from Bill Cleary, member of the 1960 U.S. Olympic gold medal hockey team, and monitors Dan Serpico in Centerville, Massachusetts.
Bill Cleary, what about the gap that exists between American amateur hockey players and Canadian? Are we ever going to close it?
Well, I think we will close it, Dan. It's just a matter of time. I think the big gap right now lies in our high school hockey. They only play 10-minute periods, and their counterpart in Canada, the boys of the same age, is they're playing 20-minute periods, and they're probably playing 30, 40 games, whereas playing 10 minutes and only 15 or 16 games.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, is it a detriment or an asset to import all of these Canadian hockey players on the college level that we seem to be doing lately?
Well, this is a great problem now, and actually it can be an asset to our boys here, but it also can be a liability in that, you know, you play against boys that are better than you, and obviously you're going to get better. But by the same token, when you bring down a lot of Canadian boys, you're depriving some of our youngsters who we're bringing up in these Pee Wee programs of playing in colleges, and hockey's becoming a more popular sport, and I think with the expansion of the National Hockey League, you're going to see it become greater all over the country.
Well, now, you've been involved in hockey. You're on the Olympic team, and you officiate some of the outstanding collegiate games in the East. What do you think the chances are for the 68 Olympics?
Well, I haven't seen the team play in the last few years. I've been away from it a little, but I think we're going to have a hard time. To be truthful, I really do. These other teams are real good hockey players, and they're practicing day in and day out, and this is what they strive for. And I think this is one thing that we have got to do, is to make the public a little more aware of the importance of the Olympic Games. In fact, I sat in a meeting in Boston recently, and they're talking about promoting, you know, interest in the Olympics, and I think this is one of our great problems as a country. We've got to get these young fellows, press upon them the prestige to represent the United States, and believe me, it is quite a thrill if you can win a gold medal.
Oh, I can imagine. Probably enough me, would this be your greatest thrill?
Oh, it would have to be my greatest thrill, and just to be having participated in it is a great thrill, but to have won the gold medal is something that I don't think you can, you know, you can surpass. At least I couldn't.
Well, you are excellent athletes. You had the supreme thrill of winning a gold medal for the United States, and it's awfully pleasurable to talk to you again, Billy.
Well, I'm glad to be down here, Dan, and I look forward to seeing some good hockey here this year.
Good. Thank you, Bill Cleary. This is Dan Serpico for Monitor Sports.
And now a word about Autolite. Lamar, France, June 1967. You're listening to the car that won, the Ford Mark IV, a $100,000 car with a battery that's almost a carbon copy of the one you buy for under $22. It's an Autolite battery. How come a low-priced Autolite battery in a $100,000 car? Because there is no better battery for the job, not at any price. Get an Autolite battery for your car, whatever kind you drive.
The most interesting sports features every weekend on Monitor. Happy music played by James West. More happy sounds on Monitor after all the latest news coming along on the hour. I'm Ted Steele. Back shortly.
Just keep tuning in, Monitor.